Hi, you've found St. Luke's Episcopal Church, Woodland. I'm Karen Sheldon, interim rector, and I'm new here, so when I say that you will find a warm welcome at St. Luke's, I speak with the voice of experience. This morning's worship is, as it has been since the start of the COVID pandemic, a little bit of Anglican morning prayer with a little bit of Eucharistic reading and prayer. It's St. Luke's tradition to share the leadership, and so we share the leadership of this service. We're going to try something new next Sunday. It's a new way of sharing Eucharist safely from home. We're doing this in celebration of our patronal feast day, the Feast of St. Luke, and it's a bit of an experiment. It'll be different. It'll require your participation, and we are still working on the logistical details. So please watch your email for a message from us so that you too can participate in St. Luke's first Eucharist from home since ever. And we'll do that next week. In the meantime, we're so glad you're with us for this morning's worship.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us? As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from the ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 106. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Who can declare the mighty acts of the Lord, or show forth all his praise?
Happy are those who act with justice and always do what is right.
Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have for your people, and visit me with your saving help.
That I may see the prosperity of your elect and be glad with the gladness of your people, that I may glory with your inheritance.
We have sinned as our forebears did. We have done wrong and dealt wickedly.
Israel made a bull calf at Horeb and worshipped a molten image.
And so they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that feeds on grass.
They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt.
Wonderful deeds in the land of Ham, and fearful things in the Red Sea.
So he would have destroyed them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath from consuming them.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Philippians 4, 1 through 9. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew. Once more Jesus spoke to the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready, come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Thank you.
Right now, we need wisdom. More than we need to be smart at this juncture in our lives, we need to be wise. That has been on my heart all week, ever since last Sunday, St. Francis Day, when I watched David Attenborough's new nature film. You know David Attenborough. Even if the name doesn't ring a bell, you know that soft-spoken English presenter who is narrating the nature documentary in low tones while standing dangerously close to the wild animals. He's a pioneer of the art form of the TV nature documentary, way before Jacques Cousteau and Marlon Perkins, and way, way before Steve Irwin. And David Attenborough is still alive. He's still working at 94 years old. This new film is exploring the risk of Earth's sixth mass extinction. And he does it with optimism that humanity still has the capacity to mend its ways. So at the end of a whole day spent celebrating St. Francis with the good people of St. Luke's praising God for creation, there's David Attenborough on Netflix standing in the ruins of Chernobyl and saying, I'm going to quote here, "However grave our mistakes, nature will overcome them. The living world will endure. We humans cannot presume the same. We have come this far because we are the smartest creatures that have ever lived. But to continue, we require more than intelligence. We require wisdom." We are at a turning point. Environmentally, politically, spiritually, there is no question that this is a turning point. And we might have different interpretations about which is the wiser course for us to take, but it is clear at this time that, as Attenborough says, we require more than intelligence, we require wisdom. We don't know, none of us knows what will become of us. It won't be enough for us to be smart, though. We will need to be wise. And that is where we come in as people of faith. Every wisdom tradition has its truths and its practices and its purpose, its reverent divine purpose. And all of those truths and practices and purposes are the divine banquet. They are the feast upon which the seeker of wisdom can sup. David Attenborough is talking about the wisdom practice of stewardship of creation, and he sees that in terms of rewilding the land and renewable power sources and sustainable farming practices. He's talking about a long-term shared investment which sacrifices some of today's comfort in the service of, in the hope of something much, much greater to come. I see all of that in spiritual, transcendent terms, much greater than only the scientific, biological creation. I see us also rewilding, liberating the spirit. I see us seeking the one source of renewable power. I see us engaging in sustainable practices that sustain and cause growth rather than deplete and cause death. I see this as a long-term shared investment in community. It's a community that I see as church, where we sacrifice today's comfort in the service and the hope of something much greater to come. I think probably all wisdom practices are like that, like sitting with discomfort and making peace with our unknowing. But I am really only fluent in the language of the Christian tradition, and more specifically, the Episcopal Christian tradition. So I accept how very little I know, and I ask your indulgence as I try to share that smidgen. We have given to us, handed down to us for many generations, five books of wisdom in the Hebrew Scriptures. We know them as Ecclesiastes, Job, Proverbs, and Sirach, and the actual Book of Wisdom, as it's known. They all have a golden thread running through that wisdom is a part of God. That wisdom is an expression of God's goodness, God's providential design, God's power that's beautiful and may dwell within us if we seek her. That wisdom always leads to trusting in God and in the goodness of God. St. Paul has a uniquely Christian spin on all of this, teaching wisdom as a gift of the Spirit, as a way of being mature in Christ. Having received the revelation of God's mystery through meditating on Christ's crucifixion or God's pouring out of God's own self for our benefit, for our enlightenment. There is plenty enough for everyone. There is more wisdom than any one of us can ever possibly attain. That's the divine banquet. And it's just like the parable in today's gospel. It seems like the poor and the sick are much more likely to show up and be fed at this banquet of wisdom than the comfortable who can afford to live in the illusion that they are sustained by their own resources. And there is no sneaking into this banquet unprepared. We prepare ourselves to sup at God's table by our spiritual practices. By opening up to receive God's love, we grow wise, and God's love is poured out and transforms us, and then spills over from us infinitely to transform everything around us. We need this kind of wisdom now, at this moment in time. Maybe more than ever, we need this wisdom. And we need it more than we need our smarty pants technologies. We need our wisdom, our sagacity. To clothe ourselves for this banquet is to ready ourselves for the seeking. Our faith offers us a lavish array of ways for seeking. Last week, we studied the Ten Commandments, which are 10 ways of life that remind us not to worship anything but God and not to work ourselves to death or to make other idols, golden calves, if you will, that soothe us when we get antsy about our unknowing, but stand in the way of our growth and our wisdom. The Ten Commandments teach us ways to live truthfully and humbly with our neighbors in wisdom. As Christians, we have the sacraments, which are revelatory of God, when our most basic human experiences, the banquet of Holy Communion and the bath of our baptism, they reveal God to us. We also see God revealed to us in the wisdom of our lifelong commitments to love, in our admitting our sin and being liberated from it, in our holy vocations, and when the nearness of death brings God even closer to us than death can ever be. The practice of being in community, the practice of awareness, of stillness and silence, the practice of humility, of admitting that you don't really know all that much. The practice of gratitude, of giving thanks for all that we have been given, of serving our most desperate neighbors. The practice of telling our ancient stories of God and also our new stories of God's action in our lives. These are the practices by which we seek wisdom now. In the letter that we heard this morning, the epistle, we heard ourselves called to stand firm in the Lord in this way, to focus on what is good and true. And Eugene Peterson translates it powerfully in the message. His St. Paul is paraphrased saying, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive and could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know about your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, of everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Practice what you learned from St. Paul, what you heard and saw and realized. St. Paul says, do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into God's most excellent harmonies. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may hear to your journey. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are scared or sad or scared or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We remember especially this week Shirley and Marilyn, and we pray for the repose of their souls. We pray for John and Cass. Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and what we have asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.